This is a passage that we shall consider in a short while. So let me read for us. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Jesus, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So if you have your Bibles open to the passage, we're dealing with the Lord's Supper instituted. The Lord's Supper. For those who have gone to churches but have missed that occasion to see, to witness the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, it is something that the church has, one of the two ordinances given to the church. One is the baptism and one is the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, you will see people taking a piece of bread, eating it. You will see people drinking from a little cup. And we use the fruit of fruit juice. But besides that, what does it mean? You find people who go to church and they don't know what it means, the Lord's Supper. Okay, so today we want to learn what it means and why it was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ from this passage. Okay, so if you keep to that passage, some basic truths about the Lord's Supper. Okay. First of all, the Passover feast was fulfilled in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17 to 19, you see the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they gather to prepare for the Passover, to eat together. What is the Passover feast? It was instituted by God during the time of Moses. You remember Exodus chapter 12. During the time of Moses, the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, and they were ruling in a situation of harshness, and they cried out to God, and God heard. When God hears your prayer, something is going to happen. In the Bible, that is what God heard their prayer, and something happened. God raised up Moses to deliver his people. And how did God deliver his people? Pharaoh, who was king of Egypt, was persecuting the people, the Israelites, the Hebrews. God said that he would send the angel of death to destroy all the firstborn. And of course, the people of Egypt didn't believe that. But what was commanded was the people of Israel had to sacrifice a lamb and sprinkle on the lintels of their door with blood. The angel of death would pass over their house and go to the next one. And if they had blood, they would pass over. But if you did not have blood, the firstborn would die of your family. The firstborn of the animal would also die. So that nation had such wailing and groaning and crying that you have never heard of. Because every home of the Egyptian who wasn't a proselyte, see, who didn't join themselves with the Jews and believe and did that same thing, all their household, the firstborn died. Even Pharaoh's son. So the Passover feast was instituted for the Jews to remember and not forget. And because they did not have time to bake bread, the bread was unleavened. They didn't use leaven. Okay. But anyway, the point is, they had to quickly have a meal together and then quickly leave with all their belongings. And even the people of Egypt gave them precious things. Go, go, go. And they left. But the people of Israel were always to remember this feast, the Passover feast. And we shall learn that the Passover feast at that time spoke of the angel of death passing over the homes of the Jews. Why? Because blood was sprinkled on the lintels of the door. No. We see in this passage that we have just read that the death of Christ was much in the thought of the people at that time. You look at verse 1 and verse 2. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, that the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. So the Lord told his disciples he was going to die after 2 days, after the Passover. Then in verse 12, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, Mary did it for my burial. See? The death of Christ is in the mind of the people. And then, in verse 4, the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, verse 4, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. So, the disciples were thinking about it because the Lord mentioned the religious leaders want to kill the Lord Jesus. Mary anointed the Lord Jesus of his coming burial. And then finally, Judas in verse 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest. So you see, this occasion, the death of Christ was in people's mind for bad. For many of them, was for bad for the Lord Jesus. The Lord had made preparations for this particular Passover to be his last. For himself, because he was going to die and be taken up to heaven. For he says in verse 18, my time is at hand. What does it mean to have my time is at hand? Which ever of us will ever say, my time is at hand. My time has come. Maybe for small things, which you think you're in control. But for the Lord Jesus, every event was in the control of God. It is the sovereignty of God that we are dealing with. My time is at hand. The appointed time, the time that naturally flowed with all the busyness of people's lives, and Jesus says, my time is at hand. What does that mean? And no one knew at that moment what was going to happen except the Lord Jesus. Every detail worked out, but naturally, it's not forced. It naturally just led to the moment that was soon to come that we shall deal with. The Lord Jesus was going to die. The last for his disciples, the Passover feast, as it would be replaced by the Lord's Supper. The Lord was going to institute this new covenant soon with his blood. And the Passover feast was going to end who was going to be the last. And remarkably, there's this predictive element that the Lord Jesus could tell his disciples, two of them, to go, you go there, and then there will be a man, and he will have asked him that you can use his upper floor. I'm having the Passover with my disciples, and amazing. There's this predictive element the Lord knew. And Luke and Mark is recorded, they said that this man would be carrying a pitcher of water, a chaw normally reserved for men, for women. And they found just as the Lord has said. So my time is at hand. The preparation of the Passover just works out the way the Lord wants. Yeah? Even in detail. Secrecy was done in a way that is private, to prevent enemies raiding and scuttling plans. Although God is in control of everything, the Lord Jesus did it discreetly. The timing for the death of the Lord Jesus is to fulfill God's plan. God is in control of everything. And the Lord Jesus is that Passover lamb. For generations, Jews had celebrated Passover by killing the lamb and eating the flesh with bitter herbs. And there was also the unleavened bread, which they didn't have time to make bread. The lamb pointed to Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. Twice is recorded in that chapter. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you were a Jew at that time, straight away you would know, because it is your culture. There is the sacrificing of the lamb, and a Passover. But for us, we don't have any inkling of it in our culture. But for the Jew, he will know. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we learn this. And the Lord Jesus said, we must eat his flesh. In John chapter 6, verse 53 to 54. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. No eternal life. If you feed on me, you will have life, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6. Look for it yourself. But blind unbelief only thinks of eating the physical flesh of the Lord Jesus. They are darkened by a veil. They cannot see that beyond the veil is the life that the Lord Jesus will lay for his people. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We must eat his flesh and drink his blood. it will put a lot of people off if you said that, you know. And even in the Roman time, they charged the Christians with that, you know, cannibals. But such is the way the Lord uses to separate. It's a separation of those who are his and those who remain in the world and who love the world. You know, there's this fine division. The Lord is doing this. It's not straight like that. He's doing this. You know, the Holy Spirit will be doing this. A soul is touched here. A soul just laughs at it. But the Lord knows those who are his. And those who are his will name the name of the Lord, the Bible says. Then bloodshed, so that our hearts may be sprinkled from an evil conscience. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. That we may be washed clean, the blood of the Lamb of God. So I'm just referring verses here to show that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, is of a spiritual nature, and Christ is the fulfillment of the what God had promised in the sacrificial animals. Since life is regarded as in the blood, the Lord Jesus' death was like purchasing for us life. Life for life. The Lord lays down his life. The blood represents life. You know, when you see people bleeding and you see the blood coming out, you see he's dying. Isn't it? Why? Instinctively you see. So the blood is an indication of life. The Bible uses that. So the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 20 verse 22 says, he purchased us with his own blood. By faith in Christ, we are forgiven and accepted by God. So you see, the description of the Passover lamb, description of the Passover feast, points to the Lord Jesus, who is our Passover lamb. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, it says, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. There's no need to say more. It's definitive. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He was sacrificed for us. Okay? So Christ is our Passover lamb, our substitute for sin, to secure for us eternal life. So this, we must get it straight, get it correct. The Passover lamb had a purpose. It is a sign, it is a symbol, and it points to the reality. If you are driving on the road, you see a sign. It says 5 kilometers more to go. So you drive 3 kilometers more to go, okay, and 1 kilometer more to go. Then when you arrive at their destination, you don't go and ask, why got no more sign, say, arrive on? Where are all the signs? You no more look for the sign. You already arrive. You want the place where you are going. That is important to you. You want the substance of the thing you are going, not the sign. The sign helps you, but the sign has already achieved its purpose. See, Passover has achieved its purpose. Points to the Passover lamb that has been sacrificed for us. Okay, so don't return back to the sign, the Passover. Okay, it's already accomplished. The type has an antitype. The antitype has already come. It's fulfilled. So don't go back to having herbs and unleavened bread and all these things that are happening today in some churches. Don't go back to those, because it's accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled. That was his last Passover. He instituted not a new type of Passover feast, but he instituted the Lord's Supper. Okay? So let us look at the Lord's Supper. Okay? The first thing we learn, the Passover feast was fulfilled in the death of Christ. Okay. Second, we want to learn that the Lord's Supper is not meant for unbelievers. Verse 20 to 25. Judas had already received 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. You remember? We dealt with three responses to the Lord Jesus Christ. One was the enemy, one was the devotee, and one was a traitor. So now this is the traitor, Judas. The enemy, the chief priest and all this, they've already given 30 pieces to Judas. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. He's a traitor. So that's the third. The devotee that we dealt with before was Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, waiting for every word, so precious to her. And she was only concerned to serve the Lord then, where others was thinking of, oh, why waste all the precious oil? You could have sold it to give the poor and all this, and forgotten what was precious in front of them. More precious than that oil. What is more precious to you? Think. What is more precious to you in your world? In the world? Your children? Yeah? Your belongings or your whatever you have, however precious it is, this is the great test of faith. Are you able to give all your the most precious thing to the Lord Jesus? If it would serve the purpose that he wants, and actually it served the purpose of preparing him for his burial. That's what the Lord commended Mary for. I fear this woman being mentioned every time. Don't ever mention about us. We are not worthy. Mention about this woman. Don't mention about us. We fail every way of our devotion to the Lord. Spurious. Only when we need him. Only when we are gathered here. All this only. And yet, the Lord wants us to realize he's so precious. Judas had already 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. The Lord could have exposed him, but chose instead to try to awaken his conscience. In verse 20 to 21, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." What did Jesus say that? It was to awaken Judas. And maybe if he had guilt feelings, remorse, who knows, but the will of God allowed it to be so that he never realized that it was his last opportunity. Everyone exceedingly was sorrowful to hear that their beloved Lord should be betrayed, isn't it? It really is a very sad thing to hear that someone in our midst would betray the church and reveal all the things, unnecessary things to reveal to others. Are you going to be that traitor? To betray the church? The church has nothing to hide. But why must we tell everyone everything? You have to tell everyone everything about your private life? I don't think you need to, or you do. You don't have to. Why must we say everything? That is not honesty. That is foolishness. Why let the enemies of the church attack the church? We have nothing to hide, but let us be wise. Everyone was sad that the Lord said someone would betray them. Judas asked also, "Rabbi, is it I?" Others said, "Lord." If you look at verse 25, Judas says, "Rabbi, is it I?" In verse 22, the others said, "Lord, is it I?" Quite a difference, isn't it? It showed the appreciation of the Savior when you just call him Rabbi and when you just call him Lord. Is he just a teacher to you? Is he just a good man to you? Hey, there's so many implications of that. It showed that there's a distance he has with the Lord Jesus. And Psalm 41 verse 9. Let me read for us. Psalm 41 verse 9. It is believed that David's counselor Ahithophel is referred to. In verse 9, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted," 41 verse 9, "who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me." It's believed that it's referring to Ahithophel, who turned traitor to David. He was David's close counselor, advisor, close friend, even my close friend. Truly, if you have been betrayed, you can feel it. It's such a terrible feeling to be betrayed like that. And can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't think the Lord Jesus Christ didn't feel it. Huh? Yeah. David felt it, and the Lord Jesus also felt it. For this foreshadows Judas as well, Ahithophel's betrayal. At this point, Judas dipped bread into the same bowl as the Lord and then left. The Lord's Supper is not meant for unbelievers. He left. See? He left to betray the Lord. When the Lord's Supper was instituted from verse 26 onwards, Judas was no more present. The important point is that the Lord's Supper is meant only for believers to express fellowship with one another by faith in Christ. It's not for married couples during their wedding, just them to have the Lord's Supper. It's not for able-bodied people at home when they can come to church together. If you are old and you cannot move, it's a separate thing. The church may conduct it in your home if you are a believer. But if you are an able-bodied person, you can move. You want the church to go to your house? Hey, you come for worship. That is why we are gathered together. You come for worship, and then we have the Lord's Supper together. It is an expression of the fellowship of God's people, one with another, by faith in Christ. We practice. There's this controversy that is, it's not so much a controversy, but a difference of opinion. Some say they're open. The communion is open to all, or closed only for, it's only for church members, or for members of the same denomination. But in our church, we practice restricted communion. That is, it's not open to all, but to true believers. For if it is known that you are not a believer, we will withhold it from you. If you are a visitor, we are not sure. It's best you have a letter from your other church. If you are coming here and working or living in this country for long, it's best you have a letter from your sending church. But if we know that you are not a believer, you shouldn't be taking it. So self-examination is required. If you are under discipline in the church, or you're obviously an unbeliever known to us, or if you are really irreverent, the communion is passed and just before you receive it, you grab it. Oh, such irreverent behavior, the church may consider not giving to you, for you have forgotten. Order is required. You have forgotten there is a certain sanctity about his people coming together. For although we do not believe the elements transform into the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, yet by faith we know he's present with us. By faith we know that these same elements that we partake of, by faith he's building our faith up. For it's a visual sign and encouragement to God's people. So remember, the elements don't transform into the body of Christ. For if we were to cut your body open, we shall not see evidence of flesh and blood, but just same plain carbohydrate and sugar. So it's sad if people miss out fellowship over the Lord's Supper. They take it very lightly. Worse is to take part and turn traitor. Worse to be a traitor in the church. It's a terrible thing. It would be better if Judah was not born. And ... How about you? We did not put your name together with Judas, but you are close to being that. Don't ever turn traitor to God's cause and God's church. It is the apple of God's eye. God looks seriously upon those who have tasted the goodness, the heavenly blessings in the church, and yet turn away in unbelief. For that is what it really amounts to. A traitor of unbelief. There are some who may say, I missed the Lord's Supper. How terrible. I'm going to... They think that if they miss the Lord's Supper, they won't be saved. We have known people like that. So every Lord's Supper, they must come. If they miss it, they feel... So it's a bit like the Roman Catholic Church, whereby it is to them a sacrament of imparting grace. The grace that to them is by partaking of the elements, somehow grace is infused into them. We have no room for such error in our church. We will expose it, and it has to be, for behind it lies a dangerous teaching of sacramentalism, that certain things bestow grace upon you, not the Lord Jesus Christ. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to give us grace, and yet you are looking at all these other things that give you grace. Then thirdly, the Lord's Supper is meant to remember the Lord till He comes. It's clear that the Lord's Supper is meant only for believers. Bread is bread, regardless of shape, with leaven or no leaven. We are not to follow in a mechanical way, but in spirit and according to the right principle. No leaven means... Leaven in the New Testament means sin. No leaven means sin is forgiven in Christ. We have to purge out the old leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says, such will be the result to live holy lives. The Lord's Supper is for us to be strengthened in our faith, put to death sin, and to live lives holy. Believers are unleavened. No more leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it's used to mean spiritual things. Okay? So don't spend your time on the bread. You understand? Don't spend your time on the bread, but take the unleavened bread to mean believers are sincere and they love the truth. Okay. Then the cup. What is mentioned is cup and fruit of the vine. Same in all the gospel accounts. So, grape juice, although we will not object if wine is used by some churches. So don't quibble. When you're going to another church, they give you wine, just partake. If you ask, and if you bring a letter from us or whatever, you ask the elders there, and don't quibble over such things. Okay? They are weightier things. So we see the Passover feast was fulfilled in the death of Christ. The Lord's Supper is not meant for unbelievers. The Lord's Supper is meant to remember the Lord till He comes. It is a sign of a new covenant. The Passover is no more. It's already fulfilled in Christ. It is a sign that has a fulfillment in Christ. Don't resurrect it back. Okay? Partake of the new covenant, which has the sign of the Lord's Supper. Okay? So, it is a new sign of a new covenant between the Lord and His redeemed people. It is to remember the Lord and His death. not to enact his death. You understand? It is to remember. It is as often as you partake, you proclaim the Lord's death. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. As often as you partake of the Lord's Supper, you proclaim the Lord's death. So it is a sign. It is one of two visual signs to show of the Lord's death when we partake. But just partaking is of no use when there is no word to explain the meaning of the bread and a drink. You see? So here we are, the person is giving out the elements, and the people are wondering, can I take? What's it for? Hey, you understand what I'm talking about? Without faith, you cannot be helped. Without faith. Faith in what? Faith in the truth of those symbols that we are partaking. See? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That those same things God will use to strengthen our faith. But it is the Lord who strengthens our faith. It is to be carried out until all believers are gathered in heaven with the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, until I drink it, what does he say? Until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Okay. One day the Lord will have that marriage supper with his people. And there will be a time of feasting and a time of great joy when his people are gathered together and strengthened while on earth, but in heaven they are perfected, and they will be together worshipping him and enjoying his company, the company of all the elect, and the Lord Jesus will be in their midst. He says, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So that is our expectation. Of all the things that you live for, well, this you can name this as one of them. To be together feasting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a joy inexpressible. You've heard of this term. But there is a joy inexpressible. Just like we groan with words that we cannot express. The Holy Spirit helps us in our groaning. There's also a joy inexpressible in heaven. Oh, that day will surely come. He said so. Are you waiting for it? Is your life being changed in conformity to his truth? Even in this institution of the Lord's Supper, how we fail. We missed it so often. Have you wondered what you have missed? If you missed the Lord's Supper? You thought it's just a ceremony the church has every now and then, but you miss the encouragement of your faith if you truly have true faith, the Lord's Supper. Service is important, but never lose the heart of devotion, and we can cultivate this by hearing God's word and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Take it by faith, always, till we are no more and all the Lord returns. The Passover has been fulfilled. Don't go back. The Lord's Supper is for his people, not for those outside. And the Lord's Supper is to remember what the Lord has done of his death, and to be continued until the day he returns. Let us cultivate our love and devotion to the Lord. There can only be one response that will benefit you. That is true faith shown by a growing devotion to Christ. The Lord Jesus asked the Apostle Peter, Peter, do you love me? And after saying it 3 times, you know, Peter was so exasperated. He said, "Lord, you know." You know, he needed to be restored from his denial of his Savior. We have to be restored from so many things in our life. Our love for our Savior is so weak, so feeble. Let the Lord's Supper, whenever we are together, remind us that there is the Lord Jesus who has fulfilled it by his precious blood. The covenant has been made. It is an eternal covenant. This covenant will last. Why? Because it is washed by blood. It is sealed by blood. You cannot wipe it off. You know, when you have blood on your shirt, you use that thing and you clean it in the washing machine. Hey, like new. But this blood we want. We want the blood to be there. We don't want the blood to be removed. We want the Lord's blood covering us. Without that blood, the angel of death will come after you. We will go to hell. We will be destroyed in hell. Eternal suffering. We need the blood washed clean. We need his righteousness, his obedience to God the Father, to be accounted to us, to be regarded as ours, that we may appear righteous, actually, that we may not be counted guilty, but righteous, only because of the righteousness of Christ. So let us not forget our Savior who loved us and gave his life for us. And the Lord's Supper is for his people to remember the Lord Jesus. It's a visible sign. Don't miss this, the Lord's Supper. Don't just come for the Lord's Supper, but don't miss it too. And you will be built up in your faith. You have so little faith, partly because you missed the Lord's Supper. That's what is trying to be said. Because he proclaims the Lord's death. You have missed proclaiming the Lord's death by your partaking. As one of those in the congregation of faith, I hope. But your own personal encouragement has lapsed because you missed the Lord's Supper. It's intended to lift our hearts up to adore our Savior more. Only one response will benefit you, that is of true faith shown by a growing devotion to Christ. The Lord's Supper is intended to elicit that. Okay, let us